News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, by the way, you heard Ray Malik a few minutes ago from 1819 News. Let me just tell you, if you have not checked them out, you need to. I mean, you hear their ads running on the show. You hear me use their resources. And then, of course, we have different people, different reporters. Jeff Poor comes on. He's their political editor. And then we've also got their editor-in-chief is Ray Malik, who just came on a moment ago. 1819 News hit the Alabama media scene like a meteor. And I mean, all of a sudden, all of the AL.coms and Yellowhammer and some of the others were just sitting up and taking notice. Because who's this group? They came out of nowhere. Well, they're affiliated with Right Side. They sprang out of the Alabama Policy Institute, just like I did. They are determined. They're going to report without all the skew and the spew, is what I say it. They literally have great reporters on staff who go out and find the stories, do the factual reporting, just call the balls and the strikes so that you know you're not having to deal with all of the opinion in the midst of the news. Now, do they have opinion writing? Sure. And they set it aside where you can see it. They have an entire editorial group, of which I am one. And so I'm just telling you, 1819 News is where you want to go to find out news about Alabama, things that are going on around your state, your community, without having to deal with whether or not there are liberals writing the story who are trying to skew it in their own view. And on top of that, by the way, I'll tell you this. They love this state. I mean, 1819 News, it's called that because that's the year Alabama became a state. They love where we are. And they even write stories that make you proud to be an Alabamian. So that being said, yeah, check them out. 1819 News at 1819news.com. All right, I am moving to number two on the Triple Dipper. I'm calling it the Four Freedom Categories. So I figured it was just time. It was time to go ahead and move past, you know, just news stories. And also remember, part of what this show is here for, I keep calling it the four E's. We're going to enlighten, entertain, educate, empower you, try to give you all that it takes so you can go out and have those water cooler conversations. You can talk to people daily. You can tell them, oh, by the way, I'm a conservative. What does that mean? Well, let me tell you. It's more than just sometimes what we believe. Sometimes it's also having to explain why we believe. It's like our faith, you know, it's our faith is the same way. We can't just say, I believe in God, and let the conversation stop there. Somebody may ask, why? And you might need to be able to explain it. Well, the same is true for where we stand on the political spectrum. Are you a conservative? Well, I'm a Republican. Different things. I'm just telling you, every once in a while, you got to stop and pause and look at a Republican and go, you may be a Republican, but you are not a conservative. Being a conservative is a different animal. Being a conservative means you have policies in mind. You have a framework. You have certain principles upon which you stand. You literally look at the world through the lens of conservatism when it comes to public policy. So let me tell you, I was doing a little resourcing for the show today, and I came across a study that was done by the Heritage Foundation. Heritage Foundation, much like the Alabama Policy Institute that I'm affiliated with, API works at the state level. Heritage looks at things on the broad national and sometimes international level, but they view it, like I said, through the conservative lens. And the Heritage Foundation came up with what they call their four freedom categories. And they actually go out and they rank states and nations against these four freedom categories. Well, that got my attention. I mean, I've been on here before. I did an entire series of monologues on what does it mean to be a conservative. But I always key in when I see respected organizations like Heritage, and they label it the four freedom categories. So here they are, and I'll spend some time kind of unpacking this after we get back from the next break. But the four freedom categories are limited government, rule of law, regulatory efficiency, and open markets. Okay, where are we headed here? Well, limited government, you can imagine. I mean, limited government might mean things like, you know, fiscal freedom, and the ability to not be overtaxed and not see government overspend. I'll be honest with you, too. It goes one step further, in my opinion. It also deals with regulatory burdens placed on business and society as a whole. Which, by the way, I'm going to tell you in a minute about another Supreme Court case that may be coming down any day, y'all, that could have a dynamic effect, like almost a sea change effect upon the ability of regulatory burdens to not be in place. So I'll talk about that. But that's number one within their four freedom categories. They call it limited government. The second one, rule of law. Well, what is that? Why does it matter? Well, basically what it means is we have laws in place that protect certain things and provide for certain freedoms, and they cannot be just abridged at will. There is a rule to the law, and the law does matter. And we are a nation of laws. And I have been in places, right? I can just tell you, I've been in places where the law did not matter. And if we have a minute later, I'll tell you a story about one of those. But the truth be told, the rule of law is a classic example of not just conservatism, but of what I would call a free society. Because when you don't have the rule of law, you have tyranny. All right, there's two. The four freedom categories. Number three, they've got regulatory efficiency. Didn't see that one coming, at least not with that title. But what they're looking at here is, does the government get so deep in the weeds about what it takes for you to be able to run a business that they crush the souls of businesses just by being the government? Well, there's some of that going on at the local, the state, and the federal level even right now. We can think back over the last few years with COVID. How many times did government get so deep in your business that you couldn't even be a business? How many businesses went away because of government overregulation, because of government telling you you were essential or non-essential? So regulatory efficiency, according to the Heritage Foundation, is one of those four freedom categories. And then the last one, open markets, or free markets, I would call it. Open markets basically is trade freedom. It's the ability to operate as a business and know that if you build the better mousetrap, that they will come. And I think that's an important piece. All right, well, listen, I know we're headed to a break right now, but that's where we're headed for the next little while. I'm going to talk about the principles of conservatism. Now, when you go out and you're sitting down and you and somebody else are having a burger or a beer or a cup of coffee, and they say, well, why do you listen to that show? What do they teach you on there? What's that guy talking about? What's all this right side radio, solid and conservative? What does that even mean? Well, how about this? You can lamblast them with the four freedom categories. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. So I'm spending a little time now, number two on the Triple Dipper. I'm calling it the four freedom categories. Well, that's what Heritage Foundation calls it. I kind of gave them to you just in bullet form a minute ago, right before the break. But they are basically saying Heritage Foundation does a measure of governance at the state, federal, and even international level on what they call the four freedom categories. And those are limited government, rule of law, regulatory efficiency, and open markets. I'm not sure I saw regulatory efficiency coming. In fact, I would have called that part of limited government. It doesn't matter. The bottom line is this. For limited government, they consider it this. Break it down into a couple of categories. One is fiscal freedom, and the other is government spending. So they literally say that the amount of tax burden that a government puts on you, and then also, by the way, does that government spend into deficit, those factors are things that they consider when they're looking at limited government. And what they're saying is limited government is best. Now, let me just go ahead and say right up front, I'm one of those that I do acknowledge, I do understand, I do believe that government has a role. I'm not so libertarian in my thinking that I believe that, oh, government's bad. They're all corrupt. Just go away. Let me live my life. It doesn't work like that. Even Jesus said, render under Caesar that which is Caesar's. He recognized government. And I'll just tell you, there is a role for government. The essential services have to be provided. You know, the ability to secure life, liberty, and the pursuit of freedom, pursuit of happiness, excuse me. You know, to secure the general welfare, to establish the common defense. These things are the role of government, and I get that. The problem is there are some who begin to believe that government is the only solution and that individual self-determination is no longer valid, or at least not as good, because surely government, Big Brother, can do it better for you. And I reject that thinking. Well, so does the Heritage Foundation. And they point out that if the tax burden is, you know, the top marginal tax rate on individual or corporate income, or the total tax burden as a percentage of GDP, if these things are getting up above a certain level, that it literally begins to become unreasonable. I mean, to some point, you're going to wind up having taxation because somebody's got to pay for roads, somebody's got to pay for police, someone's got to pay for a military. But then look at how much waste there is. I mean, my gosh, when they print money to do things that have nothing to do with what we would call essential services, then you begin to realize, okay, you're not limited government anymore. You're government for the sake of government. I look back right now over the past couple of years, how much money has flooded into the state of Alabama. Let me just point out something. If you think for a second that we are flush with cash, you're right. If you think it all got back to the people, you're wrong. Tell me how many of you actually received a benefit from the billions of dollars that flooded into our state through COVID relief from the federal government. And probably nobody's raising their hand. Because the reality is, the billions that we have seen come to our state as a result of COVID relief dollars, whether it be the CARES Act or ARPA, the American Rescue Plan, that the majority of that, the vast, vast, vast majority of that has done nothing but feed government. Government grew. Government employees in the state of Alabama got raises during COVID. Government did not shrink. Government did not feel the pain the private sector did. People were sent home with government paychecks who did not have to report for work, but they had no fear of whether they'd buy groceries the next day. And yet the private sector, not so much. The private sector had to suffer through being declared non-essential. The private sector had to literally find out that their jobs meant nothing to those in government who made decisions, despite the fact that it meant everything to those who did the jobs because they needed the paycheck or they put everything they had into running that business. Limited government. Limited government's a big deal. Well, by the way, I pulled a story this morning. You know, there's still a couple of rulings yet to come from the Supreme Court. One of them may be coming any day now. I wasn't even tracking this one, but I'm looking at a story. This came off Fox, dated today's date. It says, one more blockbuster Supreme Court decision could still be coming even after Friday's abortion ruling. This is amazing. This deals with two of the issues on the freedom, the four freedom categories that I'm talking about. And this one goes right into limited government and regulatory efficiency. Get this. I did not know this is out there, y'all. This is way cool. So Roe v. Wade happened last week, along with things that dealt with, you know, religious freedom, the ability to put your kids in the school that you believe they should be in with tax dollars as long as they're allotted. It doesn't matter whether it's a private Christian school or what. They had things on the Second Amendment. But there's another case right now, and it's called West Virginia versus the Environmental Protection Agency. I wonder if anybody's even tracking this case. But here's the deal. West Virginia versus the EPA asked the important question about whether or not policies that impact the lives of all Americans should be made by unelected DC bureaucrats or by Congress. So what happened is this. The Clean Power Plan under President Barack Obama, yeah, it goes back that far. The Clean Power Plan was adopted under President Barack Obama to fight climate change. Okay, here's part of that bloated big government thing. We're going to fight climate change. Here's an agenda for you. The program was estimated to cost as much as $33 billion per year and would have completely rendered our nation's power grid, our nation's power grid. The article says here, the state of West Virginia, joined by two major coal companies and others, sued the EPA, arguing that the plan was an abuse of power because it was devolved to bureaucratic agencies, not to Congress, to decide how to implement it. Wow. And it says that by deciding in favor of West Virginia, if the Supreme Court does so, the court could then begin to rein in the power of all the alphabet agencies in D.C. that run our lives and return it back to legislators whom we elect to create legislation. Now, they already did this in Roe v. Wade. They literally said in Roe v. Wade, this is a matter that should be left to the people and their elected representatives. That was abortion. But what it indicates is that they already have an inclination, if you will. The majority already has an inclination at the Supreme Court to say that the elected representatives of the people are the ones who are best suited to make those decisions that affect the day-to-day lives of the people. Well, here we are. Major case. So as the Heritage Foundation looks at this and says, you know what, limited government, regulatory efficiency, those are things that we consider to be part of the four freedom categories. A major, major case, y'all. Stay tuned, because a major, major case could be coming out of the Supreme Court of the United States any day now that may wind up turning that on its head. Can you imagine if the EPA, if OSHA, if the FDC, if the FEC, if any number of those, you know, the CDC, these regulatory burdensome agencies that literally make up law as bureaucrats, not elected officials, but as bureaucrats, if they get stood on their head and told, no, you can't do that, that's a question for Congress. Well, new day in America, and the four freedom categories, limited government, just took a major, major jump. All right, listen. One of the next ones on here is rule of law. And I got to tell you, the rule of law, if you're looking at the four freedom categories, if you're just kind of tuning in right now, what we're talking about for a few minutes here, I'm just going off into conservatism. I'm not even talking about news per se. I'm covering bits and pieces of news that might jump into this, but the topic is conservatism in the form of four freedom categories that the Heritage Foundation believes government should be ranked against. Limited government, the one I just covered, is one. The next one, rule of law. Listen, I said it earlier, if you don't have the rule of law, if the laws can be put on the books and mean nothing, then you don't have a free society. You have tyranny and you have anarchy. Tyranny is when laws don't matter, the ruler does what they want. Anarchy is when there are no laws and everyone does what they want. I'm just saying, the rule of law has to apply. We are a nation of laws. I've said that on the show many times. I'm an attorney. I believe in the rule of law. But not everybody in the world has the benefit of living in a place that does. So we'll go ahead and take a break right now. When we get back, I'll tell you a story about an experience I had in Afghanistan where it was obvious the rule of law meant nothing. Nothing. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM 92.5 FM WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Time now, 3:51 p.m. We are almost two-thirds of the way through the show. That's crazy. That is crazy how fast it goes by. But listen, I am in number two of the Triple Dipper. I'm calling it the four freedom categories. Just spending a little time, stepping aside from the news for a minute, and sort of explaining why do we care. Why do we care? Why, when I get on the air every day and I say solid, conservative, and just plain right, you look at it and go, conservative. All right, what's he saying? Well, what I want to do is every once in a while just sort of step back and explain sort of the tenets of conservatism, if you will. Why does it matter? Well, it matters a lot. I mean, if you believe that government is the end-all be-all, then you're probably not a conservative. If you believe that government has too big of a role right now, you may well be a conservative. But then it comes down to time, you have to be able to say, not only here's what I believe, but here's why I believe it. You gotta get in the you know, the elevator pitch, but also go straight into the deep in the weeds conversation. Why do we believe what we believe? Well, the Heritage Foundation put out a study that they base governance upon called the four freedom categories. The four freedom categories, pretty interesting. Limited government, rule of law, regulatory efficiency, and open markets. I spent some time on limited government already. Told you about a new case coming out of the Supreme Court any day now that may truly limit government's capacity to burden us through the use of bureaucrats that aren't even elected, and they actually just enact the laws. But number two on the four freedom categories is the rule of law. I got to tell you, when I was in Afghanistan in 2002, it was obvious to me I was in a place where the law was sometimes made up as it went along. Now, they'll try to tell you they went by Sharia law oftentimes when the Taliban were in effect, but even still, you could tell they made it up as they went along. But nonetheless, I had this one experience where in the middle of trying to do things to rebuild society and to, you know, conduct combat operations, but also change the hearts and minds of the people, we were doing things like, you know, rebuilding, you know, schools and all that kind of stuff. Well, I had a contract going. I was on a remote team out in the middle of nowhere, and I had contracted a bunch of local carpenters to make desks for a girl's school. I know it sounds like this is a war. Yeah, it was a war. What we were doing was we were showing the women of Kunduz, Afghanistan, that it was a brand new day. And so I had this contract going to build these desks, paying for it with U.S. dollars. And then I find out that one of the local warlords, a guy named General Miralam, General Miralam had put a stop to the work. Why? Because he wasn't in charge of it. He wanted to be in charge of it. General Miralam was a strong man. He was of the belief that the old way of doing things was still in place. So I had to go to a meeting at the warlord's place, right? I go down, I have my security detail, we head on down there. I get down to General Miralam's headquarters. And I walk in, and basically General Miralam sits at his desk, and with my interpreter going back and forth between us, he's telling me why he should be, I've got to do these things, I've got to tell these carpenters what is what, I've got to, and then finally he realized he was getting nowhere with me. I was telling him, this is a contract with the United States. You don't just intervene because you feel like it. The rule of law has to matter. And finally, he stops and he looks at me and he kind of raises his hand in the air, kind of like he's giving up. And he goes, okay. And then he says, you know, in Afghanistan, when there is a problem with a contract, it is I that must take charge. I must do things. In America, who solves these contract problems? Well, I knew the answer to that because in civilian life, I'm an attorney. So I looked at him and I said, through my interpreter, I said, lawyers. The whole room, when they heard that, broke out laughing. They thought that was the silliest thing they'd ever heard. Some of you might too, I don't know. But the reality is, what it showed me right there and then was I was in a place where the rule of law meant next to nothing. The rule of law was a convenience to be exercised when it fit the situation, but it was not something that people really wanted, at least those who were in charge. The rule of law did not protect the average citizen. The rule of law did not protect the underdog. The rule of law did not level the playing field so that the underprivileged had the same level of rights as the privileged in society. The rule of law did not give one the ability to seek redress against your government. The rule of law did not guarantee you certain rights in Afghanistan. Well, the rule of law means something in a free society. And if you're a conservative, you care. If you're a conservative, you care about whether or not the rule of law, when it comes to matters of, like, you know, private property being guaranteed by your government, not to be intervened with or taken without, you know, just compensation, or about whether or not the court system is efficient or inefficient, about whether or not the court system is literally burdening the underprivileged as opposed to just letting everybody on the rich side go. You've got to have the right to representation. You've got to have the right to know that if the law stands, the law stands. For you and for everybody else. And oh, by the way, the rule of law has got to apply to those who are elected officials too. And I'm saying things right now that sometimes we look at and go, really? Is anybody caring right now? January 6th Commission cares about President Trump, who's not even in office anymore, but you won't do a thing about Hunter Biden? I get it. I'm frustrated with that too. But the rule of law is still there, by and large, in our country. And that is one of the measures of what we call freedom. And so yeah, I agree with the Heritage Foundation. These are all good. And I'm looking at some of the others. Regulatory efficiency and open markets. Regulatory efficiency, you can imagine what that basically means is the government is not sitting down and just creating more and more rules to the point that you can't move to the left or the right. I mean, like, for instance, OSHA has the keen ability to shut down businesses. OSHA was about to be the implementer of the vaccine mandate firings. The Biden administration, by executive fiat, issued an order that said you will lose your job in the private sector. And OSHA, by the way, is going to be the one that's going to come around and get that done. Well, that is absolutely not the way the law is supposed to work, which is why the courts had to intervene, because that's a case of where regulatory efficiency was inefficient and the rule of law had to step in because government was not limiting itself. Classic example is the vaccine mandates. So as you're explaining these things, if people say to you, you're Republican, yeah, but I'm a conservative Republican. What does that mean? Well, it means you care about things like keeping government in its place. Let the essential services be essential, but how about you not just grow government and grow spending? How about you not overwhelm with taxes? How about you recognize that regulatory burdens placed by all these agencies is not good government? How about you recognize things like the rule of law has to matter? And then the last one I would say is this, and then we'll move on when we get back from the break. Open markets, the free market. Do we have the ability for someone to build the better mousetrap and the government stay out of the way? And if you build that better mousetrap in a free market, people will flock to you and leave the other mousetraps. So folks, I'm telling you, these four freedom categories, they matter. And on this show, every once in a while, if we have to just kind of knuckle down and go into conservatism 101, we'll do it. But right now, I believe that the Heritage Foundation's got it going on. And these four freedom categories, they matter. And when someone asks you why you're a conservative, tell them. Limited government, rule of law, regulatory efficiency, open markets, how you like me now? All right, folks. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Taking a quick break. Coming right back. Going to jump into Biden's border. Oh, my gosh. Or the lack thereof, anyway. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.